time passed. My apologies. I never even noticed the time pass. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength, for the beautiful weather, for brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, for those that are here and those that can't be here, Lord. Please, I pray your good hand upon us all. Pray you, Father, please, for your guidance this morning, for your good hand upon each one of us, upon our hearts, upon our minds, that, Lord, that you would take and use this time that we've set aside just to think solely about you. And I know sometimes it is difficult to calm our thoughts, to quiet our thoughts, but Lord, please do that for us this morning as we sing your praises, as we lift up our prayer requests, and Lord, as we read and study your word. Pray you too for brothers and sisters, Lord, across the land and across the world, Lord, for Stan and Karen and the folks up in Bangor, especially for the family in Christ, for the Haynes, for the Asquiths, for Lord, the Foxes, for the Sealys, for the Cosgraves, and Lord, there are so many others, especially for the Mormon family, Lord, at this time. Lord, we just leave this at your feet. Pray that you would put your good hand upon our world leaders. Convict them greatly, Lord. I want to thank you too for the freedom that we had to be up at the Crescent Link and for the time of testifying to that lady Michelle. I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon her too. Bless us and keep us now, Lord, and just teach us, I pray, as we spend this time in your presence and around your word. I just ask it all, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, we are going to begin with, as soon as I find it again, there we are. 178, it's 27 in the wee black books. I was just looking at it and I was trying to remember one that I was whistling all the way around the Crescent Link. I thought, we must sing that tomorrow. And of course, I can't remember even the tune now. But hymn number 27 is Nearer My God to Thee. Amen. Frog in my throat. I wasn't expecting that. Just as about to hit a high note. Amen. Norman, if you're fit, brother, we would love to have you come up and read for us.
This morning's reading is from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, and thou hast a name that thou live and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angels of the church Philadelphia, I write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has said unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen.
Thank you, Norman. Thank you, Steve. I like that penultimate verse. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I like that. Even as I also overcame. There's a good promise from the Lord. Right, just a moment or two by way of announcements. Does anybody have any? Anybody got anything that they would like everybody else praying for? Yes. Your granny's knees. That's on the 20th of July, isn't it? Yep. Let me see. Where are you? There we go. We put Mary Ann / granny. Knee surgery. Is that there already or not sure?
No.
20th. Amen. My dad has cataract surgery on Wednesday. My sister avoided surgery altogether. I'm sure she's glad of that, but she still has to sit around for about the next 6 weeks until her, I don't know what bone it is, but it's the small bone in your leg, in the bottom part of your leg. And until that properly knits together, they thought that there were a lot of pieces that were going to have to be held together with plates. But I want to thank you all for your prayers, because prayer does make a difference, and all the bones lined themselves up, and she's just in a lightweight cast. So I want to thank you for that. And I know it's nowhere near as important, but it's an odd thing that I have a good friend that's a dentist. And he invited me to go down to Letterkenny to get my teeth looked at on Tuesday week, is it? Thursday week? I think it's the 29th. And he's a really nice guy, but I really hate going to visit him because he's going to give me twice as much treatment as anybody else gets. So there's at least two fillings to come. And so I've got that to look forward to. And it's not a big thing. I just hate going. And I'm sure my blood pressure goes up a couple of points and my adrenaline spikes as well. But I would appreciate your prayers for that next week as well. It's so inconsequential, but I don't like going to the dentist. Having said that, whenever you go there, there'll be a cup of tea and there'll be chocolate biscuits or a big tub of sweets or something. That is, one time I was there, his daughter, who loves to cook and bake and do all that, just homemaking stuff, had baked. She must have just poured things of sugar in and cooked the sugar hard. It was that much sugar and the mint and the chocolate. Yes, well.
Just when I'm always talking about that, people go to get the frogs. Shouldn't take tea afterwards?
Why is
hot
that?
Tea. Hot tea because of the fall.
Just afterwards?
Afterwards, yes.
Well, I'll have to get my teas in before I go then. But, yep. Yes, indeed. So, please do remember that. I also want to thank the Lord for, seem to have come round for whatever tweaked my back last week. We did mention the Mormon family, and everybody here except Christy only knows them by name, but I think, did you meet them whenever you were over in London? So, Jack Mormon, who's been a missionary of decades, passed away a couple of weeks back. And unfortunately, the pastor that they have there does not seem to have his head screwed on properly. So please do pray for his wife, Dot, and family, and the church family that he is leaving behind. So please do remember that. Anything else we can? Yes, Norma.
I have a big day on Wednesday in the High Court in Belfast, so I need all your prayers, folks. I need a big day.
Do you have to be there?
No. All done video link.
From Williams. Norman has family problems. He has a very obnoxious stepson. It has caused him and Sandra many troubles over the years, and is still causing problems with theft and one thing and another, serious theft. to the tune of tens of thousands of pounds. So hopefully it'll be all sorted in the High Court. Please do remember that. Bible says our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and that's just exactly what needs to be done. Strongholds need to be pulled down everywhere. So please do remember that. That's this Wednesday. It'll not be updated before then, but I'll have it here. So next time we see in church, all being well, this will be done and dusted, or just the first salvo.
I don't think it's going to be done and dusted.
We will certainly pray about that. So everybody, I have for private prayer requests myself and my good wife for Ling, Steve, Pat, Will and Norman. That's everybody except the good folks at the back. If you have any private prayer requests you would like, just put your finger up like that and I will write your name down. If you don't have any private prayer requests and everything's hunky-bunky, I'm glad for that too. But please do remember Esther, Pat and Steve. Steve has had a bad week with a recurring angina attack that sort of came and didn't quite leave him, so it sort of knocked him a bit flat. So we'd appreciate your prayers for that too. And we had a good was it an hour and a half or 2 hours by the time I finished talking? About two hours?
An hour and a half or so.
Finished off the Crescent Link, the shops up at the back of the Crescent Link, and we were talking to a lady called Michelle up on Carn Manor. And so if you want to remember her, I'm going to put her on here. She seemed to be interested, and we were able to give her a couple of tracts. Her husband's in the security forces over in England, and she is on her own here at the moment, so please do pray for Michelle. She's not a wee girl. When I say wee girl, I mean any girl. She's about the same age as me, so that's that. Anything else? Amen. Okay. Well, I'll have somebody else have a word of prayer then. Christy, would you mind leading us, please, if you would, brother?
Lord, we are thankful for this day, for this time in your house and around your word, Lord, with your people, Lord. Give us in your praise and worship for this time. Guide and lead this service, Lord, we pray that you'd accept of our praise, the sacrifice of our lips, Lord, our tithes and offerings, Lord, the preaching of your word, our attentiveness there as well. Please guide the preacher in every word spoken, Lord, and as he explains your word this morning to us, we pray heavenly wisdom for him, Lord, for the sermon, for each heart here and each mind, Lord, that you would give us another goal this morning, Lord, and work in each heart, we pray. Remember the prayer requests spoken forth,
yes, Lord,
in advance of Norman's court case and Wednesday, Lord, that you would even work in the judge's heart right now in this case as well. He'd be looking at it right now, reviewing it, Lord, and just work it in Norman's favor, we pray, Lord, according to your will. Pray for Steve, Lord, your good hand upon him as he's had a bad week, Lord. I pray a touch of healing, Lord, a touch of calm, a portion of grace, and a portion of rest and strength and Pat as well. Pray for Nana, Lord, for that bump, Lord, that you would miraculously take it away, be your will. If not, Lord, you would have the doctor call this week and let her, Lord, tell him as well. Remember John Bradford as he goes for cataract surgery on Wednesday. Lord, for Aileen, we're thankful, Lord, that you didn't need extra surgery and the bones lined up as well. Remember Mark too as he goes to the dentist. Lord, be with Dot Norman, comfort her heart and the children's heart as well. Thank you for the service that Jack gave to you, Lord, and all those folks in South Africa and in London. Lord, would you raise up, Lord, someone in his place, please. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, let's sing another song. But a favourite that I'd like for us to sing.
Two for you, now I belong to Jesus.
Sure. 248. Amen. 240, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil is ever. His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him.
Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus hath saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Amen. All right. Put those hymn books away and take your Bibles out. If you would like to join me in 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. I'm going to be taking our reading from the first 9 verses, give or take, and be speaking on the subject of now, or right now, or presently, or at this time. My goodness. There's Kings there. 1 Kings chapter 9. I would also like, just as you're turning and thinking about that, to draw your attention to the Christian Institute has raised some concerns about conversion therapy. I don't know if any of you know what that is, but that's basically the freedom that people involved in the LGBT movement have to leave the LGBT movement. There is a great push for to stop churches evangelizing people that have adopted these, in quotes, acceptable alternative lifestyles. It's not a labor camp. It's not a re-education camp. I remember speaking to a homosexual man that got a scare, an AIDS scare many years ago, and he contacted me because I was far enough away from his church to counsel him without any rumors going around, and he was seriously thinking about the consequences of his lifestyle and committing his life to Jesus. He spoke a few times, he came and visited once. I don't know what he ever chose to do, but there are people that would like to change and think that there is no way they can. And this is designed to stop Christians from reaching out to people in that lifestyle. So please do pray, continue to pray for the Christian Institute. And there's also another group that is actively campaigning against abortion in Northern Ireland and the UK. It's CBR, but I think it's going to be changing to AANI. Just the name, the contents and the thrust of the matter is the same. I think the last time I looked, there was a full school's worth of children had been put to death by the abortion clinics just in Northern Ireland. 2,000 little souls in Northern Ireland stepped off, were pushed off into eternity. And that is a dreadful tally of souls, but by the same token, far better off in eternity than being raised up by a family that would think nothing of killing an unborn child in the womb. So please do pray for a great crisis of conscience with all those involved in that awful trade, and for Christians. I think at the risk of bringing one of my favourite movie producers into the service. Anyone ever heard of George Lucas? Yeah, he came up with the whole Star Wars thing about goodness, like a lifetime ago. And they started to go all woke and this, that, and the other, and started picking somebody. And you know what people started doing? They stopped spending money on Star Wars. And Star Wars people got themselves sorted out, and they fired the person that was involved in doing all that, and set to rights those that had lost their livelihoods. I don't know if they ever made their subscribers up again, but if somebody is doing something that you deep down fundamentally disagree with, don't support them. Just don't support them. All right. I went and found Kings and then closed my Bible again. How's that for me being wide awake and up and at 'em this morning? Amen. 1 Kings chapter 9, beginning at verse number 1. I just want to read these first 9 verses and spend a little bit of time on the subject of now. Word of God says, "And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among the people. And at this house which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, Why hath the Lord done thus unto this land, and to this house? And they shall answer, Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil." Amen. We're taking the whole thing as our text. I'm not going to go through it all. I pray that you pay better attention now than I did whenever in my formative years sitting in church, and I could hardly remember the first verse that the minister had spoken about whenever he finished reading all the verses. But we're speaking about right now and in this time, and I pray we're talking about God's promises, that as we go on, we will see just exactly what it is I'm trying to get at. Amen. Well, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Amen. Yeah, Father, this day, Lord, thanks for being sick into your house, Lord. We offer a number of blessings in every house that is covered each and every house of the servant of the Lord. Remember, ground and our past God, Lord. Remember, all the people, remember Frank Morley's, and they've been blessed and keep them, Lord, and keep them safe well, and we're drawing closer walk with thee, Lord, and keep them safe, and keep a ring of fire around them, protect them, and keep them as well, Lord. With John, Colin, Stephen, Lord, provide for them and keep them, Lord, and save their souls today, even today, Lord, and bring them out to, if possible, bring them out to the church next one time and save their souls mightily and powerfully. With Esther, Lord, provide for her and keep herself, and Lord, help her heal her and infirm her disease, Lord, so or any hurt, Lord, or any sickness, Lord, and keep her and bless her and provide for her and keep her as well, Lord. With Stephen Pat, pray for the diabetes, help him and stem the pain and stem the discomfort, Lord. We'll also be with Stephen and St. Jenny, Lord, deliver from him, Lord, and Lord, help him, and if not heal him, Lord, give the doctors the wisdom and the knowledge to come and heal him, Lord, to take away the severity of the Lord, I pray thee, Lord. With John Bradford, that goes to the hospital for his cataracts, Lord, help him, Lord, and direct the doctors, Lord, to take out the cataract, Lord, successfully and painlessly, Lord, and Lord, may not do any hurt, Lord, but help them, Lord, draw them closer, walk with them, bless them and keep them as well, Lord. If not, as it goes to the High Court, Lord, whether remotely or in person, Lord, very often we bless them, Lord, and may it turn out to a case in righteousness, Lord, or the true judgment, and that they will be done, Lord. And we're healing on top of her broken leg, Lord. And heal, Lord, completely, Lord, my prayer to prayer, Lord. And Lord, help her and bless her and keep her, Lord, and draw her closer walk thee day by day, Lord, as well, Lord. For this day, Lord, grateful also now, Lord, right from a keep, Lord. Mr. Especially of his swearing and his smoking, Lord, and Lord, draw him closer to thee, Lord, bless him, keep him, and save his soul. Deliver us this day, Lord, that your Martin has come to deliver the message, Lord, give him the words to speak, give him the spirit, Lord, and touch our hearts and hearts, Lord, and bring us closer to thee, and may our walk be closer drawn to thee. And be able to give us my honor for our glory, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Will. Amen. All right. I just realized as you were praying for Frank that I hadn't mentioned Frank along with Esther and Pat and Steve, but we haven't forgotten him because I was praying for him as I was walking up and down the road there this morning. Amen. All right. Here we have the second dream that Solomon had that involved a conversation with God. The first one was, of course, when the Lord asked Solomon as the newly minted king of Israel what it was he would like to have to help him with his kingship, with his reign over God's house. And you know the story how that he chose wisdom because he saw himself just as a little child in the sight of God, not knowing how to come in or go out. And this pleased the Lord, and the Lord gave him peace on every side and victory over any enemies. And he said he would give him a long life as well, but I reckon by the time it was only Solomon's reign was only about 40 years, and I don't quite recall what age he was whenever he took the reins of the kingdom, but that's neither here nor there. Here's the second dream, the second visitation that God has with Solomon. And then this one, God speaks to Solomon and makes this promise with him. He says, first of all, you've put my house up, and I've pretty much given you free rein to do whatever it is that you want to do, and I've literally blessed everything that you've done. This is what God says to Solomon. And because you've done it the way I asked you to do it, yes, your dad, I wouldn't let him build the house because, as the Lord said, he was a bloody man. He had spilled a lot of blood, he had fought a lot of wars, and Solomon had done none of those things. But he said he was going to have Solomon do that, and he did it. He made it his priority to build a house for the Lord. A place where men would worship the Lord. Let me put it like that, because as the Lord himself said, heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. What house are you going to build me that will contain me, or words to that effect? But God said, my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. In other words, I believe God was saying that he would pay particular attention to his people in this country. They were his. He was going to look after them. His love, if you like, was shed through the children of Israel in the world, but his eyes would be upon them perpetually. And we know from many of the prophecies that are in the Word of God that he has made good in this, right up to date. The next prophecy about the Jewish people is whenever the abomination of desolation, I think as the Antichrist setting himself up to be worshipped as God in the synagogue, that God's command to the Jewish people is to run for the hills. That's the next express prophecy about the Jewish people. Israel's been made a nation, and God has been as good as his word. He has loved Israel, he has protected them, he has preserved them, even when they had no homeland. No matter where they went, they were distinct, they were separate, and yet they blended in with the locals. And when the time came to reconstitute Israel, he called them from the four corners of the earth, and that's just exactly what happened. This is God making good on this promise that he made to Solomon like 4,000 years ago. So anyway, he says to Solomon, and I want you to bear in mind that once you're saved, you're always saved, right? I know we do stupid things. Sometimes we do them ignorantly, sometimes we do them, we're tricked into doing them, and sometimes we just outright choose to do things that we shouldn't do. And the reason I'm bringing that up, because the Lord refers to Solomon's dad, David. And we know David went wrong in his later life. We know that he killed Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite. And that's who Solomon's mom was. But yet, for all that, and for all that his head was turned away a bit from God in the last few years of his life, God still called him. What does he say about him? If you walk before me as David, thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, he's still saved. He's still going to heaven. And he was still set as an example. But anyway, the Lord said to Solomon, if you act like your dad in the best of his days, I'm going to establish your kingdom forever. I will literally make sure that whoever sits on the throne of Israel will be able to trace their line back to you. And I don't know about you, but that's probably one of the greatest desires for any parent, is for their children to follow in their footsteps. We find out what works for us, what keeps us right, which gives us peace and contentment at the end of a day. And we want our children to do. We want our children to be able to look after themselves, to feed themselves, to shelter themselves. We want them to be like ourselves. It's sort of the whole idea of having kids, is having a little version of yourself running around, an expression of your love for your spouse. But anyway, he said, I'll promise you that one of your sons will sit on the throne forever. How's that for a promise? And I am sure that would set any parent's, any father's heart at ease to know that all you gotta do to establish your kingly line, to establish your family forever and ever, is what? Obey God. That's crazy. But yet God promises that. I want for you to know, that's not just the promise to the kings, that's the promise to Christians. I'll bless you if you obey me. What did they used to say about if? A very small word with a very large meaning. And it is the trick that many of us are missing today, is we're looking for God's blessings, but we're not that keen on doing the obedient bit. You might think that would be the desire of every king, to have his son sit on the throne. But we do know that there are some people that are clean crazy. And history actually records one of the Herods as being so bonkers and round the bend that he killed all his own children so that nobody would take the throne away from him. So that's the sort of people that you're dealing with whenever you get up that high, and power is literally at your fingertips. They say power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. God says, I bless you. Just follow my laws, all the laws that are set down, and whenever I speak to you, obey my commands. My judgments, my statutes, and my commandments. That's all you gotta do. Now, if I said that to you today, you immediately start thinking of what? What are my friends going to say? What's my wife, my husband going to say? My children, my work colleagues? What are they going to say if I start behaving like a Christian? We'll come to that at the end of the meeting, at the end of the service. It's also a bit of a burden to a father to have that, because it means you've got a certain standard to stick to. Whenever you're providing a male role model, you, to your children, to all of the children, you show to the little boys how a man is supposed to behave, and you show to the little girls how a man should treat a woman in how a father treats their mother. And likewise, the ladies, it's a heavy charge sometimes to remember that little children, little girls are watching you, you mothers, you older ladies, and they're taking their cue from you. Not just your children, but all children. They watch adults to learn from. So it's not all lemonade and pink tea. There is a burden involved with this. The burden is, of course, to obey God. It's the same burden is also, uh, I, w- would I say, laid on religious leaders' shoulders, and indeed, I was going to say on the shoulders of our country's leaders, but the way they behave, you wouldn't think that. So we're going to leave those out, because some of those guys are as clean crazy as Herod was back in his day. People take their cue from the pastor and from the religious leaders as to who they worship. What do they need to know about who they worship and how they should live their lives? And so, we all know, I remember from, I can't remember who came up with total quality management. Was that Chinese or Japanese? Japanese, was it? About 30 years ago, they tried to introduce it into Desmond's. And I do say try, because they tried. It didn't last for more than a year or two, and provided, I'm sure it was another acre of a rainforest somewhere, ended up being cut down to provide all the paperwork that was generated. But they said one thing that I do remember is, they say you remember about 30% of what you hear. So that's scientific, dear. I only remember 30% of what I hear. So Monica's thinking, if I say it three times, you'll hear it once. But you remember about 50% to 60% of what you see and hear. But you'll remember somewhere between 70 to 80 and maybe even 90% of what you see and hear and do. So it really depends on whether you're just saying the things that you should do to the children, or whether you're doing the things that you should do, as well as saying them, so that your children and others that are looking at you can pick that up, or whether you're involving them and telling them and showing them what it is that you are doing. It's a heavy burden. And it's not just for parents, and it's not just for religious leaders, it's for everybody that has an authority over people. It is a burden. Now we're getting to the now and the immediacy of the title. And God said, you need to be real. You need to listen to what I tell you. You need to know what's written about me, and you need to honor me. You need to worship me for real, properly. Not just this eye service or with your lips, but really with your heart. It has to be real, honest to goodness, integrity and uprightness. You have to do that, because that's when it's real. That's when it makes a difference in your life. If you don't have it in there, it doesn't matter what you do with your fingers, and it doesn't matter where your feet carry you. If it's not for real, people soon know. It doesn't take very long to find out if people are real about anything. You only have to talk to them and listen to them and watch their faces, and you get to know. When you get long enough in the tooth, you get to see all these things. God said, the flip side of that coin is not so rosy. If you, as people that are supposed to be my people, don't behave like my people. In other words, if you start worshipping the gods of the people whose behinds I kicked for you whenever you took the promised land. Have you ever heard the saying, it's going to be biblical? Have you ever heard that saying? The downfall of a person or an organization or a country is going to be biblical means it's going to be biblical. It's going to be big. It's going to be incredible. It's going to make people their eyebrows go up whenever they hear about it or whenever they talk about it. And God said, your downfall will be biblical. Not just because it's written in the biblical, it'll be huge. It'll stand out so much in man's history that they're going to be talking about it. They'll say, do you see that temple there? Why is that there? Like that? Why is it like that now? And they will say, it's because they stopped believing in God. That's me. That'll teach me to put my phone in airplane mode. So God warned, he warned Solomon. This is in the wings. If you're not going to behave yourself. And I want to draw a wee line there and just take a time out from my notes. And I want to say something. God is not a mad dictator. He's not like a lot of these guys running countries in this world right now that just because he can, snaps his finger and people are put to death. Hannah's not my God. He's not always on the lookout for a fast buck, like so many of the leaders of countries in our world today. I honestly can't think of one country where the first citizen is a servant to their country. I can't think of any. Literally, all of them do seem to be in it to line their own pockets, to feather their own nests, and just for the power. That's not God. The reason God puts these things down here for us is because we need them. We certainly might not like them, but we need them. In the same way as many children would love to eat McDonald's and drink chocolate milkshakes morning, noon and night, or maybe not at night, but I'm sure they would like maybe crisps or something just for something different, or a bag of gummy bears and a bottle of Coke just to see them right. They might like it, but any parent, anybody with their head screwed on properly will tell you that's not good for you. God tells us these things because it is paramount to our survival, and not just our surviving, but our thriving in this sin-cursed world where literally every other person does not love God. And if you start talking to them, you're not going to be their bosom buddy, because they're going to realize your testimony. The spirit that dwelleth in you is going to bear witness with the spirit that dwelleth in them that they either are or are not the children of God, which means they're either not going to heaven and that you'll make it known, or they are going to heaven and they'll shake your hand and keep telling you to do a good job. It's not for God's benefit. And God doesn't become more God whenever more people turn up in church. We become more godly when we turn up in church. When we cement that habit in our hearts and turn up even in the days when we don't feel like it, when it is a real chore. And yes, I even get days like that too. Whenever I have to preach the difficult messages, I don't sit down and think, what's going to rub Norman up the wrong way? Aye, I'll preach on that. Or what's going to rub Will up the wrong way? Or Ling, or Pat, or Steve, or Christy and Taylor, or Monica? What do I need to get Monica back for? I don't just sit there and write down all those topics and then think, Lord, I know you've got a good message out there. Why don't you just give me that? That's not the way it works. I'll be reading the Bible. I have about 4 or 5 places that I'm working my way through, halfway through the Old Testament, and then the other half, and halfway through the New Testament. The New Testament and the Gospels are separate. And as I read theirs, I will write notes down. And sometimes, even as I write, the thoughts will all come flooding in, and I pretty much take that as a sign as God saying, here's all the bits you need for that message, and I'll start writing them down. And more than one occasion, as I have finished writing it down and read about it, I have thought about the things and difficulties that people have. And I don't preach contentious messages or messages that might be troublesome for you to harass you, but to show you that God's thinking on you and he has a solution for whatever ails you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I want to talk about your testimony just for a wee minute. Actually, for the rest of the minutes. Every Christian testimony that is a testimony is like one of those balloons that they put up with a flashing light on it. Did you ever see those on the army movies that the Hercules has to come in with a fork and he has to catch this balloon, and then the guy's whipped up off the ground and pulled into the cargo bay? Do you ever see that do you ever do that whenever you were? I've seen it. I wouldn't like to do it. I am sure the whiplash would be incredible on it, but that's what your testimony's like. It's like a balloon that stands up there and it has a bright red flashing light on it. And that's just the way it is. Whether it's physically, and you're wearing a t-shirt that says God loves you and Jesus died for your sins and you must repent of them and be saved, or whether you're preaching and teaching and people know what you are, your testimony is like a bright red balloon with a bright red flashing light, and it only takes one small indiscretion to wipe it out, to burst it. It draws everyone's attention, let me tell you, especially the world, the flesh and the devil, and they will do their utmost to destroy it. And this is where the now comes in. Because once a soul is saved, you're saved for free. We know that because Jesus paid it all. And you're saved forever because it's the free gift of everlasting life. You can't lose it because the Bible says that Jesus will keep your salvation, you saved, in the palm of his hand, and so will our Heavenly Father. And the Bible even says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of our redemption, until the day our sin nature is no more and we stand in the streets of gold. That's forever. And that includes a home in heaven, a mansion. Not the Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's written in the Word of God. The Bible says as well that whenever we see Jesus, we'll be like him. The disciples didn't see Jesus at the tomb as a beaten and bloody rag. They saw him perfect again, except for the marks of the cross in his hands and his feet and on his side, the marks that we should be carrying forever for as a mark of our sin, he bears for us so that we can have his perfection with no sin, no wrinkles, no grey hairs. All the things to do with age and death and sin are gone from us forever. Robes of righteousness, indestructibility, agents of the King of Kings. We've got all of these things promised to us when our lives are over. But there's a right now as well. There's a Christian life to be lived right now in this life. And this is what God was saying to Solomon. You're mine, but you need to obey me now, in this life. Now, if we didn't, If God treated us like this, if he said, as soon as you pray for something, as long as you say in Jesus' name, it's going to happen to you. I know the Lord said, whatever you ask of God, ask in my name. You are literally, when you open your mouth and speak to God, speaking in the name of Jesus Christ, because he saved you and he enabled you to get there. But it doesn't mean that just because you tag in Jesus' name at the end of everything, that you're going to get it. I've heard people, have you ever heard of the prayer of Jabez? Anybody ever heard of that? People think that if they speak the same words that Jabez spoke, that God will broaden the borders of their church and bless them with mutual profit and mutual prosperity, but that's not the way it works. If God gave us everything like that, do you know what would happen? The first day that God said, you know what, I'm not going to answer that prayer today, I'll answer it tomorrow, what would all the Christians be doing? They don't believe that, to be stamping their feet and clenching their teeth and grinding their teeth and clenching their fists, sorry. Be having a fit. All over the world, a million rattles would be thrown out of prams. And people would say, well, I'm not going to follow that God anymore because he didn't grant my prayers straight away like that. We would never learn. We would never learn our place. And our place is not on the cross. We didn't suffer, or we don't have to pay for our sins. It's not over the cross. We didn't command Jesus to pay for our sins. It's at the foot of the cross where we beg and plead for our repentance. It's on our hands and knees in the throne room of heaven where we beg and plead and talk to God. We would never learn our place. God. We don't rule God. God rules us. Whenever we use the model prayer in the book of Matthew, or indeed the other Gospels, we speak, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And all we're talking about, a God and a king. How are we supposed to approach him? Please. Thank you. O Lord, Savior. That's how we approach God. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, with prayers and supplications, that's pleading, and then with thanksgiving when he does answer our prayers. It was for the first time, I was up quite early this morning, and I was walking down that road, and I just enjoyed the peace and the quiet and the little bit of mistiness and mugginess that there was, and I thought, you know what? That's really nice. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. If God gave us everything straight away, we would never learn sacrifice. We would never learn that, no, it's not about getting. How many times in the Bible it says in Luke 12 and 15, the Lord said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesseth. Otherwise, we would be wanting, 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 and then when we get all our stuff, we say, Lord, you know what? To coin a phrase, I need to tear down my barns and build bigger. I need bigger barns to put all my stuff in. And exactly the same thing happens to us as happened to the man in the story. God said, some night your life will be required of you. And then what's going to happen to all of that stuff? We would never learn to give if it was all about getting. If it always came from God, if we always prayed and it just materialized like the Star Trek transporter in front of us, we would never learn sacrifice. We would never learn to be the ones that God can work through to answer someone's prayers. Oh, I have X and somebody else needs X, but it's a bit dear to me, but they certainly need it. I have no need of it. And God might just say to you, they have need of it. You're my servant. If we're having this conversation, you're digging your heels in where you shouldn't be, make sure they get it. We certainly would never learn patience. Is that not one of the things we teach little children? We teach little children to wait on our time because there are other things going on that little minds just can't comprehend. And at the risk, I'm not insulting anybody, but in terms of speaking to God, we all have just little minds. The Bible says his thoughts are as high above ours as the clouds are above the earth. We need to learn to wait. Now, that's not the easiest one because God says it's the trial of your faith worketh patience. It's you waiting on God and doing things his way that will make you into a more patient person. And if Brother Stan was here, he'd be smiling about now because he always claims to have no patience. And he always says, do not pray for me for patience. Nobody looks for a hard time. It is God that decides whenever you get a difficult time so that you can lean on him whenever your resources and your assets wear out and you have to depend upon God. And there are so many great promises for whenever you do. He says, whenever you wait on God, you'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll walk and not be weary and run and not faint. And that's just one of them. We would just never learn. If we got everything we wanted straight away, how many times have you come across a spoiled child in the supermarket? Well, and I think the children and the supermarket owners are in cahoots because where do they put all the sweets? But right by the till. And what tired child, and to a certain extent, I have a little bit of sympathy with the children because I know what women are like when they go shopping. They don't go to get a thing, they go to look at things and then maybe get a thing. Is that not the way it works? Yeah, I see three smiles and three ladies' faces and another couple of, yeah, we're all smiling. Everybody got that. That's good. And so whenever they get there, maybe in their little minds, they think, you know what? I have suffered through this shopping expedition. For the woman that feeds me, changes me, watches over me, and puts the plasters on my knees and cuddles me whenever I have nightmares at night, I've just about had it. I want a sweetie. Of course, many times have you seen a kid freaking out? I want that toy. They haven't even made it to the sweets yet, and they get the sweets. I want the sweets too. And mummy says no, and it sounds like a World War II's air raid siren going off. What does everybody say? Oh, that's a perfectly well-rounded little child. No, they don't. Somebody might say, can you not shut your child up? I have a splitting headache. depending on what neck of the woods or what aisle you're in. But nobody, bar nobody, somebody might even, like the old gunfighters reaching for the, might be reaching, instead of reaching for a pistol, they're maybe reaching for a wooden spoon to hand to the mother and tell them to sort their child out. God doesn't want us like that either. He wants us to learn all of these things and to realize that our plans are not paramount in this world. His are. And sometimes it means we gotta wait, we gotta learn, and we gotta grow. And if we just got everything we wanted straight away, we never would grow. We would never become someone that could be depended upon to do God's will, for by even anybody else's will. There's a reason God has the Word of God for us. There's a reason God has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for us. There is a reason God has us go to Him in prayer instead of Him begging and pleading for us to talk to Him. It's because we need it. If you think about all the times in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit came upon people and the amazing things that they were able to do. Samson's feats of strength, that just that merest flake of God's power that took up residence in Solomon's heart, the wisdom of God. The preaching, the fireballs down from heaven, all of the things, even walking so closely with God that men went alive up into heaven in the case of Enoch and Elijah. And this time in the whole history of man is so wicked and so depraved. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and His teachings, His strength, His comfort, His fellowship, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and the avenue, the stairway to heaven, if you want to put it like that, that having that offers us to go into the very presence of God. We get that every single moment of every day. Because we need to be Christians every single moment of every day. And that means now. Even it says it's 20 past 12, but a minute or two, and you're thinking, he really has gone on for his 45 minutes today. I appreciate you being Christians. I remember a service going on once and someone got up and walked out because the time was up and I think their dinner was ready. I think one of them was a little bit more contentious and the guy just got up and walked out whenever I spoke about something that obviously the Lord was dealing with him about. Just another minute of your time and then I'll be done. It is difficult. And I'm not up here to tell you that, Christian, if you fall into the foil, you'll climb out with a salmon in each pocket. It would be great if you could get a pair of trousers like that. I'm sure you could make a mint with the fishermen in town. But that's not the way it works. The Lord has better things for us, the things that people are really seeking. And He will give these to you if you, like Solomon, like David, even like Saul when the Lord spoke to him, if you listen to what God says, if you're aware of what God wants and obey Him when He calls, the Lord will provide the peace that passeth all understanding. In other words, a surety of purpose that you won't be dithering about or worrying about what other people say. Or even just be able to sit contented knowing that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The freedom to come into the very presence of God. And we're not just talking about a king that maybe would have had bodyguards. Many times in the Bible did it talk about, who was it? Was it Ruth? Who was called into the, or Esther, sorry, was called, she wasn't called into the presence of the king. She wanted to make her petition for her people. And she knew that if she went into the presence of the king unannounced, and he didn't lower his scepter, his club, if you like, towards her, that she'd be executed like that for daring to come into the presence of the king. The Lord doesn't treat us like that. He treats us like beloved children. He wants to hear from us. And so we have that. Read Hebrews chapter 10, amazing verses. We already mentioned the promise of doing things God's way and waiting on God's good time. He will enable you to keep going, to overcome. A purpose that is the most noble of purposes. The promise that everything will work out for the best. These are the blessings that God gives to those that listen to him and obey him. I'm not talking about being a robot. That was one of my fears before I got saved. If I get saved, I'm going to turn into robots, and look at them all. They're all dressed in good clothes and they're all sitting with a Bible in their laps. They just seem to be like robots to me. As a lost man, looking for any excuse not to believe. The Lord wants the very best for us. Yeah, but Mark, there's so much in this world trying to stop us. There's so many things going on in my life that are diverting me away. I want to tell you, I'm going to give you this. You can do everything through Jesus Christ. Everything that God asks you to do. You keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, should I be giving that man a tract? Should I speak to him whenever I give it to him? What's he going to think about me? What are my friends going to say about me? You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. It doesn't matter what other people are going to say about you. You're not going to stand in front of them in judgment day. You're going to stand in front of God someday. You can do it through Christ. Even for a Christian. This next one is a beautiful promise. Matthew chapter 11, where the Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is where our rest is to be found. It's nice to be able to go into a room and lie in a bed and pull the curtains and close the door and just let your thoughts wander or relax and drift off into a peaceful sleep. But if you want real rest to your soul, go to the Lord in prayer. And instead of just trying to catch some Z's, still your body and go to the Lord in prayer. And see if that doesn't work so much better. You know that, "Come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here's the bit that people don't like. "Take my yoke upon you." Oh, there's more work needing done. He says, "For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light." And he says, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Upon you and learn of me." He says, "Find rest unto your soul." And that's what most folks in this world are actually looking for. Those folks that turn up at 6 o'clock or 6:30 to jump up and down to the tune of a guy that can only count to 8 and give him £100 a month or £1,000 a year for the pleasure of being told to do so. That's all well and good. I would rather be saved and on my way to heaven. It's going to be tough. Remember what Jesus said. You know, sometimes you can just get weary with stuff. When Jesus was walking through, was it Samaria, and he met the woman at the well. And he was chatting to her, and he sent the disciples had gone on to get some food. And he chatted with her, and he told her about all her history, her full history. He told her all about it. Remember that he said, "Go and get your husband." She said, "I have no husband." He says, "You're right. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with right now, he's not your husband. You found the perfect man, and number 7, that was Jesus, and he gave her what she really needed, a walking, talking relationship with her Lord and Savior. When they all came back, he said, "We've got the food." Jesus said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." And I am telling you, if you have never tried it for yourself, that the encouragement to your soul, the victory that you can have over yourself, over your feelings, and over all the temptations that the devil will throw your way and other people's opinions, is enough to get you out doing it again. That is the meat that the world doesn't know about. If we will give the Lord just a little bit of our faithfulness and our perseverance, He will turn us into good Christians. I know we would like to think that everything's hunky-dory and everybody's having a good day, but I know people have difficult days. I've sat in those chairs and I have come into Bethel, I am sure if the BBC weatherman was here, everybody else might have had a bright and sunny disposition, but I was working at about 70 or 80% humidity with the possibility of thunderstorms just over my head with the way I came into church. But by the time the first couple of songs were sung and the first couple of prayers were said, that spirit was lifted and I was enjoying myself. And that's what God offers. I came even when I didn't feel like coming, and I enjoyed all the services, and it impressed upon me the importance of being faithful in the house of the Lord, because I needed it. If it could do that to me, it can do that to anybody. It's the same with the Bible. It's the same with your prayer time. All of these things are to be cultivated, whether you feel like them or not. God just doesn't want to see you whenever you're smiling. He wants to see you when the tears are tripping you. He wants to see you when you're spitting mad. He wants to hear from you, and we should be always ready to talk to him, so that we are familiar with his presence and we are ready at any time just to hear from him or to open our book. How many times have you opened your Bibles and it's been a grind to read it? Many times for me. But I make the point of making a habit of reading my Bible. And when you keep doing that, you will cement those in place. And it's a day by day building up of you and me. You become a better child of the King of Kings. Someone might even call you a Christian, because you start to remind them of the things that Jesus said and did, because you do the things that Jesus did and you say the things that Jesus said. It's not something that's going to appear for you in your deathbed. It's something that you will cultivate in your own life here and now. See, God promises to do all the work in saving your soul for the endless ages of eternity and providing you basically an indestructible immortal body that will, goodness, will walk the streets of gold forever and ever and ever. And if God calls us to do something, we'll not be going, oh, we'll be going, excellent, and we'll be off. It's not something to wait until your life's nearly over before you start doing it. It's to be done now. Right now, so that God can bless and God can build and God can teach and God can strengthen and comfort and give you that purpose that he has for you now in this life. And you will find as you go that God will provide every single thing you need to do, whatever he calls you to do. Who goes to war at his own charge, the word of God says? Nobody. You always go to war on behalf of a country that provides your gear, and you hope they are, your gear and your food and your weapons. These are the promises of the word of God. So many people fail to take God up on his promises because they haven't read and they haven't thought and they haven't studied and they haven't applied it to their own lives. These promises are not for saved people. They are for saved people that want to obey God. For Christians. There are many, many saved people in this town and in this country and in this world that will never amount to anything more than just a saved soul. They'll never have the joy or the victory of putting a tract in a hand, of sharing a word of testimony with a soul, of being a good example. Their tickets are stamped. And because they have a slack-jawed, lily-livered, pansy guy with a dress on and a frock on the outside, standing at the front, lying to them through his teeth, they will never, ever enjoy any of the blessings that God has reserved for those that love him and will take time for him. But you have that opportunity. You have that opportunity. I'm going to stop there. I think it's probably about dinner time somewhere. Appreciate your good time and attention. God bless you. Have we got a closing hymn, anybody? I'm more than happy to sing it, but I'm more than happy to lead it. 100. Day by day. I think we do, actually. That's a, we sung that one, I think, recently. 100 in the Black Hymn Book. If it doesn't work out well, it was Monica that picked it. We'll stand as we sing hymn number 100. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I'd no cause to worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond Let's pray, and then we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time around your word, for the patience that you gave to everybody this morning, and for the message, for the prayer requests, Lord, you know, for absent brothers and sisters, for those that would be brothers and sisters, Lord, we pray your good hand upon each and every one. Please save lost souls, Lord. Please convict our country's leaders greatly. Please protect Israel. Lord, we pray even in these last of the last days that most importantly your will would be done in our lives, and we know we're the kings of that. Bless us and keep us, see us safely home, back at the next appointed time, Father, please. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship just for a little bit.